tonight to take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 2. I want us to look at the first four verses as we introduce the thoughts of our lesson tonight. There, beginning in verse 1, the writer said, "Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will." Now, to me, this is truly an amazing passage of Scripture. But I want to point your attention tonight to verse 3, where the writer said, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?" I think all of us tonight are interested in things that are great. We're concerned about things that are important and things that are meaningful. If we were to talk about tonight things that were meaningful and important, I'm sure we would talk about our families. You know, there are just a few people that I know of that I would be willing to instantly die for, that their lives might be spared. You know, members of my family, especially. And that's true in your life as well. There are certain relationships that we consider to be very valuable, very precious, very important. And yet the Bible talks about salvation being great. I wonder how many times do we stop and consider our own salvation as that which is precious, that which is important, that which is great. Do we need to realize, do we need to understand how great salvation is in our lives? And what I want to do for the next few minutes is to challenge our thoughts tonight to consider the idea that salvation is great. And I want to talk about exactly why it is that our salvation can rightly and justly be described as being great. First of all, you know, what makes salvation great, I believe, is the one that gave salvation to begin with. The Savior is he which can make salvation rightly described as being great in God's sight. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, "Mary shall bring forth a son. You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." In Luke 1 and verse 35, "The angel answered and said unto Mary, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. The power of the highest shall overshadow you. Therefore, that holy thing which shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God." You see, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, that's what makes salvation great. God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten Son. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved, Acts 4 and verse 12. And I'm so thankful for the Hebrews writer estimation of our salvation. I hope you'll realize tonight that your salvation and my salvation is wonderful, it's great, it's valuable because of the one who made salvation possible to begin with. But you know another thing that I believe makes salvation rightly to be described as great is because of the tremendous cost involved in making that salvation possible. I hope most of you, if not all of you, have your Christmas shopping done. You know, there may be some folks that are rushing about trying to get it done at the last minute. But you know, whenever you receive a gift, really how much that gift means to us is often reflected in the cost involved. You know, they put out Christmas decorations in the department stores in late August and early September. And I made a comment recently to one of the managers, there is no way y'all are going to sell all this stuff. And I promise you, if you'll go to those stores the day after Christmas, you're going to get a good bargain on some good stuff. I don't know how they're going to sell all the things for the holidays, the decorations and stuff that they put out. But you know, Christmas is commercialized. That's one reason why it seems to have lost some appeal for me personally. The commercialization of it, the money, the emphasis on the material. But you know, we go out and we buy a gift for somebody, or maybe you receive a gift, and what that gift means to you many times is reflected in the cost involved. For example, if a young man desires the hand of a young lady in marriage, that young man will skimp and save, he'll work week after week and month after month, and finally he'll have enough money saved up and he'll give that young lady that he loves with all of his heart a beautiful ring. You see, that means something. Not only because of the vows, not only because of the promise that's there, but because of the fact that he was willing to work so hard to make that gift possible. But tonight we need to realize, in regard to salvation, that it is great. It means so much because of what it cost. Salvation is great tonight because of the cost involved. Ephesians 1 and verse 7 says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. You see, for us to be saved, Jesus Christ had to come to this earth. He had to suffer and bleed and die on that old rugged cross. Those nails had to go through His hands and His feet. That spear penetrated our Lord's side. His blood was spilt on the ground that our salvation might be a reality. In Romans 5 and verse 6, Paul said, for when we were yet without strength. When you read that, picture somebody possibly on their deathbed, maybe on a respirator. They're not surviving even on their own. They're at the point of death. Their condition physically is said to be completely hopeless. I think you can go even a step further and describe that situation as one who actually has died. That was our situation spiritually. We were totally dead. We were helpless. We were in a situation that we could do nothing about. But the Bible says while we were in that situation, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. But God commends His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath, from God's wrath, through Him. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4 says about Jesus, who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world. And so Christ gave Himself that our sins might be forgiven. The price of the sacrifice, the purchase price of our redemption, was the precious blood of Jesus Christ, 1 Peter 1 and verse 19. And so if we've obeyed the gospel, we have the assurance that every past sin in our lives has been forgiven. Our sins have been washed away. All of them are completely and totally forgiven there in the waters of baptism. And we can know, according to 1 John 1 and verse 7, that if we continue to walk in the light as He is in the light and strive to be faithful, that that blood will continually, present tense, keep on cleansing us from sin. Your salvation tonight is great. because of the purchase price it took to make it a reality. I think another reason why salvation can rightly be described as being great is because it's offered to everyone. Now, I wonder if we've ever really stopped to think what our situation might be if we had been taught and we actually believed in the very popular doctrine of predestination. That God, from the very beginning of time, made up His mind who was going to be saved and who was going to be lost. And if you were one that was foreordained to be saved, there's no way you could be lost. But if you were one of those that were foreordained to be lost, then there would absolutely be nothing you could do to be saved. Aren't you thankful that salvation is not like that? Aren't you glad that salvation is for all people of all races from all places in the world? In Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Go ye therefore and teach all nations," Matthew 28 and verse 19. The Bible says about Jesus Christ that He gave Himself as a ransom for all, 1 Timothy 2 and verse 6. The Bible says about God in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4 that He would have all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. The Bible emphasizes that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. And yet, that doesn't mean that everybody is going to be saved. It just means that everybody has the privilege. Everybody ought to have a right of hearing the gospel and obeying the gospel and getting their sins forgiven. And yet, we have to be willing to meet the conditions that God has set forth in His Word. You see, we're given a choice. Jesus said in Matthew 7 and verse 13, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be that go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life. And few there be that find it." And so let's understand that Christ died for all. Everyone has the right to have the gospel preached to them. Everyone ought to have the right to make that choice. And yet, we need to see that people throughout the world have that wonderful privilege. Now, one may hear the gospel. One may even believe it to a certain degree, but one has to obey it and submit to it in order to be saved. But I submit to you tonight that our salvation is great because it's not beyond the reach of any person who hears it and obeys it. But you know, another thing that makes salvation great is the fact that it's great because of the terribleness and the hopeless condition we were in before we obeyed the gospel. Now, I want you to envision yourself and just think about this for a moment. Suppose you had grown up in this city or in this state, or maybe you had been born and you lived in another country, and never one time, not a single time, had you ever heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Or maybe you're one out here who's just trying to worship God in some way, but you know, doing so in ignorance, not having a proper understanding of the will and way of the Lord. You know, when one's outside of Christ, not a New Testament Christian, the Bible describes that individual as being without Christ, without God, without hope in this world. And I really don't think that we appreciate, as we should, the wonderful hope that we have of one day living forever with God in heaven. In fact, the Bible says in Titus 1 and verse 2, "In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began." And yet, before becoming a Christian, When we're outside the body of Christ, the Bible says at that time, Ephesians 2 and verse 12, you were without Christ. You were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. You see, salvation is great. When I stop and think about the terrible situation I was in before I obeyed the gospel. But you know, another thing that I think makes salvation rightly described as being great is the fact that it brings us into a wonderful relationship with God. It brings us into a situation where we now are forgiven. You know, just imagine what it might have been like to live 175 or 200 years ago, and, you know, back in the days of slavery. Just think about what it might be like if you had just grown up as a small child as a slave, and maybe you reach adulthood and you're still the slave of another person. You're nothing but the mere property of a slave owner. And that slave owner could do exactly with you what he pleased because he owned you. You were nothing but his property. What would it be like to just suddenly be made free? To suddenly become a free person? That's exactly the way it is with salvation. You see, before one becomes a Christian, the Bible says that individual is enslaved to sin. He is under the bondage of sin. He is a servant of sin, Romans 6 and verse 16. And yet, when an individual submits to God and obeys the gospel of Jesus Christ, that individual is immediately set free from sin. He becomes free from that bondage. He becomes in a right relationship with God. He who was once estranged from God because of sin is now made right with God. The Bible says in Galatians 3 and verse 26, for you are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. How? Well, the next verse says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You think about the condition that we were in before we obeyed the gospel. We were slaves to sin. And yet salvation is great because we've been redeemed and we have been made free from that enslavement. One final thought tonight, and the lesson's yours. I want to submit to you tonight that salvation is great because of the wonderful eternal blessings that it does produce. Now, I don't know about you folks, but come January the 10th, I'm going to be considered a wealthy individual. You see, the Publishers Clearinghouse Prize Patrol is scheduled to come to my house on that day, and I'm going to be the national winner. I'm going to get $7,000 a week for life, and I'm going to get $1 million on top of that, and I'm going to be the grand prize winner. I've been told I have a good shot, according to what they said. So I've canceled all my plans for January the 10th, and I plan to be home so that I can be there when they pull up. You know, we just think it would be great if we could win that kind of money, don't we? And I guess all of us could probably use that. But just suppose for a minute tonight, suppose that did happen. What would it be? Well, it might cause us to lose our soul. And even if it didn't, the blessings that that could bring is really only temporal in nature. But boy, we would sure consider that kind of thing to be a great blessing. But we need to realize tonight, if we receive salvation, that's the greatest blessing ever. We're going to be forever and ever with God. The Bible says, be faithful unto death, I'll give you the crown of life. Revelation 2 and verse 10. Listen to what John said in Revelation 7 and verse 15. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He that sits on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Now, folks, I'll tell you, that's blessings. You think about going to a place where the hair no longer turns gray. You know, I was just looking at some folks this morning, observing, and I remember some of these parents of younger children now that maybe are teenagers, you know, they were very, very young when I moved here. Now you see the gray appearing, and you know, age has a way of seemingly creeping up on each of us. You know, it's harder to get around than it once was. We're more prone to injury. You know, when you sneeze, it could lead to a major physical catastrophe. We just don't know what's going to happen the older we get. But think about going to a place where the hair will never turn gray, the wrinkles will never furrow our brow, there'll never be any more disappointments, there'll never be any more heartaches, there'll never be any more depression, there'll never be any more anxiety for any reason. It'll be a place where there's no more pain, no more tears. Nothing in all eternity can ever cause even one moment of unhappiness. Now, folks, salvation is great because to be able to go and be with God at a place like that, that is true blessings. Now, I'm just convinced tonight that these are just some of the reasons why the Hebrews writer rightly described our salvation as being great. But the amazing thing about this is that this salvation can be yours and it can be mine. If we are just willing to humble ourselves and submit to God's will and obey what God would have us to do, this salvation is for you and for me. That's why we need to make sure that our focus is where it needs to be. And that is being like Jesus and serving the Lord each day with the ultimate goal of making it to heaven. It may be sometimes we become sidetracked from that fundamental truth. Maybe we need to make our lives right. Maybe we need to repent and come back to the Lord. It may be that you're here tonight and you're outside of Christ and you are one of those who are rightly described as being without God and without hope in this world. That can all change tonight if you'll come in simple trusting faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. If you'll change your mind, change your life, repent of your sins, you can be baptized into Christ tonight for the forgiveness of your sins. Upon your confession of faith in Him, the Lord will add you to His church. And you can leave this building tonight knowing the joy of salvation.